Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Gent, and this is the place for stories of miraculous faith in the face of impossible odds. Today we share the message for October 6, 2019, from Grace United Methodist Church in the beautiful Heartwood community of Virginia. The scripture today is Genesis 32, 22 through 30, and the title is How to Wrestle with God and Win. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." On this night of this story, Israel was born. For those of us who are part of the New Testament church, we have been grafted into this root of Israel. We are the new people of God, the new Israel. And it all began on this very night. Jacob, Tricky Jakey, Jacob the trickster, had been running his whole life and had been defeating the odds all his life long. All his life he'd been willing to gamble on this or that or the other, thinking that he could outsmart the other person in the bargain. But now he had run as far as he could run. Now he had to face what he had done. He had to face his own brother and look him in the eye. He had to go home again. And ultimately, he had to face himself. What do you do when you've run so far you can't run anymore? Have you ever reached that point? Have you ever come to the point where you've finally had to face what you had done? How do you handle that? Jacob handled it the same way he had handled everything in his life up to this point. He had always been trying to split things down the middle and play the odds. So he took his family and split it into two camps. Now, you might think that families are always stronger when we stand together, and I think you'd be right. But yet, we do things all the time that cause our families to split down the middle, don't we? Jacob was no different than us. He split his family down the middle and said, "Maybe if half of my family gets attacked, I can run off with the ones who are safe." But then his heart began to wrestle him as he lay there all alone, without a penny to his name, without even the shirt on his back. He lay there in the dark, wondering, "What if my loved ones are attacked? Then what? Will I run off and play the coward? Try to get away with those who can escape?" Will I rush in and try to be the hero, try to stand up for those who are under attack? That might seem like the thing you would expect a patriarch of faith to do. But like most of us, that's not been the way he has lived his life up until that point. There hasn't been very much heroic in his life story until now. And so he must face his own indecision, his own cowardice, his own lack of courage. He must face himself. There comes a man, an inexplicable man. What's he doing there? Who is he? Why is he there? Why is he picking a fight with Jacob? And why is it a wrestling match? We don't know. He just suddenly shows up and wrestles him, not for a minute or two, but all night long. The scripture says he was a man. And then Jacob says that he saw God face to face in that man. Later on in the scripture, it says that this was an angel. We really don't know who or what it was. We do know that the reason Jacob had to wrestle all night long is because he was still trying to make peace with himself. It was time for this mighty man of God, who was part saint and part sinner, who had wounded himself and all the others he cared about along the way. It was time for him to face God Almighty. Plato said the most important thing is to know yourself. One of the fathers of modern psychology, Carl Jung, said, "We all have a light side that we want to show and a dark side that we want to hide, but they're both part of the same person." Jung said, "You can be completely good or you can be made whole, but not even God can make you completely good and whole. You have to face those dark secrets in order for God to make you completely whole." That's how you wrestle with God and win. When you face God and confess your weakness, then God makes you whole. This message is coming to us on Worldwide Communion Sunday. And on this day, on every continent, in every nation, God's people are kneeling as one. There are so many things that still try to divide us, and most of the things that divide us into two camps or fracture us into a thousand are invisible lines, dark secrets that split us up into a thousand pieces around the world. One of the most powerful spiritual experiences I ever had was in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian in an IMAX theater. It was the first time I had ever been in one. And I saw from a 3D perspective everything that the astronauts see as they fly around the Earth. I saw, like never before, what it looks like to have a God's eye view of this world of ours. You look out into space, and there are bajillions and bajillions of miles. That's the technical term, bajillions. There are bajillions of miles of emptiness and death. And there, in the midst of all of that death, is a tiny blue shimmering jewel of life. That one little ball of life against all of that death, against all odds, there's one little ball that has life. And as far as we know, it's the only place in the universe where there is life. You look even more closely and you can see a tiny, fragile, shimmering blue outline around that little ball. That's our atmosphere. That's the only thing between us and death. That nearly invisible line that holds in air for us to breathe. That's all there is between us and the rest of the cosmos. Well, you can look at that tiny little ball and see that we better get it together. We better be on the same team. We better be united as one people. Because if we're at war with ourselves, where are we going to go? There's no place else to go. I don't care what they say about Mars. Let Elon Musk go ahead and go there if he wants to. There's no place else to go to live. That's where the real line of demarcation is. The real line is that thin, blue, shimmering atmosphere around our globe between us and billions and billions of light years of death. You would think that knowing that, we would all want to get together, but we can't even put ourselves together without wrestling with God. How on earth can we put together this world? We find so many ways to divide the world. The Eastern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere. Well, they're different, an old world and a new world. The Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. Oh, they're totally different. We divide our own nation between the North and the South, and we can't even decide where that imaginary line is. When I served in the mountains of Virginia, they told me it was the Rappahannock River. Well, in fact, they tell me I ain't never lost nothing north of the Rappahannock River. As far as they're concerned, anything north of that river is the North. And yet here we sit in our beautiful church today, and I'm preaching north of the Rappahannock River. And I've heard folks here in this community say, oh, we're not in Northern Virginia. No, Northern Virginia doesn't start until you get to Prince William County. That's where Northern Virginia is. Well, we've got our own imaginary lines, don't we? I married a woman from West Virginia. And when I look at the state line for West Virginia, it looks to me like there's no rational reason for it to be there. Somebody just closed their eyes and drew it on the wall and said, yeah, there you go. Let's just put it there. But I can tell you that that invisible line makes a big difference. West Virginia is not the same thing as Virginia, only west of here. And so we have dividing lines between north, south, east, west, black, white, brown, yellow. We have dividing lines between immigrant and native, as if there's more than one world for us to come from. We have all these I think it's true. I think there is a dividing line. I think it's very clear. I think it's a very important dividing line. I think it's a dividing line between people who are sane and right-minded and crazy boogers. That's right. That's what I think. I think you and I, dear listener, are the only ones who are sane, and everyone else is a crazy booger. I think I can recognize crazy boogers really well because I was raised by crazy boogers. I'm serious. My parents are, without doubt, some of the craziest boogers I have ever met in my life. I'll give you a quick example. My parents believe everything on earth is caused by allergies. And so they've divided their world into things that cause allergies and things that don't. Some forms of very smooth igneous rocks, those don't cause allergies. Everything else causes allergies. They've had heart attacks, and you know what they say caused them? Allergies. They are, without a doubt, some of the craziest boogers I have ever met. And because of that, I feel like I've had a lifetime of training in recognizing crazy boogers when they come along. So there you have it. It's you and me against everyone else. Well, it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? But you know, the truth is, the only way I can be truly sane is to come to God and confess my own madness. The only way I can truly be made whole is to come to God and confess how fractured my world is. The only way I can be made truly complete is to come to God and ask God to take all these ways I've divided up my world and divided myself up against the people around me, and ask God to wrestle with me until all those barriers come down and I'm made whole. That's why God invites broken people like us to come to the communion table, where we receive one bread, one loaf, one body, one blood, to be made one in Jesus Christ. On this World Communion Sunday, are you ready to be made whole? Are you ready to wrestle with God and win? Are you ready to come to God and confess that you're just tired of being divided up so that it's you against the whole world? Are you ready for Christ to make you whole? All you need to do is come and confess your weakness. Don't wrestle with God all night long in order to face it. Come and confess it. For it's when you confess your weakness that you're made whole. And when you come to the communion altar and you confess that, Lord, I'm broken and shattered and cut off from everything and everybody that ever mattered to me, Lord, I need you to make me whole so you can make my whole world whole. When you do that, then you have become one of the children of Israel. You've become one who wrestles with God and wins.